Friends, the final book of the Bible draws back the curtains on a vision of the heavenly throne room, with all creation gathered around it. There are creatures, there are rulers, there are ordinary people like us constantly praising God and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We join in those praises this morning. Please be seated. I'd invite you all now to please stand and join in singing our first hymn, "All My Hope on God Is Founded." Please be seated. Well, friends, a very warm welcome to you on this brisk spring morning here to Scots Church in the centre of Melbourne. Welcome too to those online. I met some people through the week who are with us each week online. Welcome to you too and all who are watching. If you are new to Scots, please take a moment to introduce yourself on the card that you hopefully got on the way in. In fact, if you're online, you can introduce yourself too. We'd love you to do that. We would love to make you welcome and keep you in touch with happenings at Scots. Now, today there will be a special morning. It's a special day. We're ordaining three new elders. And to celebrate that, we're having a rather special morning tea, which is being hosted by the cafe in the foyer of the Westpac building immediately behind me. Now, Tony, who runs the cafe, I thought he might just come in with one staff member. He's brought three or four people in, expecting a crowd. And the coffees are prepaid by Scott's Church, so you're welcome to free coffee or tea, and you can purchase snacks for yourself. It looks terrific, and we really want to support those guys as they've come in to help us today. So please stay around and join in that celebration after the service. There is a note there about the cantata coming up on November 6th, and please plan to be here on that very special Sunday of music coming up soon. We're going to sing again now. The hymn is Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Please be seated, and I invite you to join with me as I lead in prayer. Holy God, almighty and loving Lord of all mankind, we are aware that so often we honour you with our lips, but fail to glorify you in our lives. And so we humble ourselves now and acknowledge that so often, instead of casting our crowns before your throne and bowing to you, we continue to build our own kingdoms and seek our own glory and comfort. So often we fail to honour you as we should. Father, our prayer this morning, as we celebrate the appointment of new elders in our church, that you would help them to lead us in all humility and godliness, always seeking your glory and not their own, so that they might teach and encourage each of us to do the same. Speak to us today, we pray, through your word and by your spirit, as we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to welcome our session clerk, Rosalie Strother, who will be introducing the process of the ordination of our new elders.
We've actually gone through in the the process of nomination and the election of our elders elect who are standing before us now. Our three elders elect are Nada Hanna, Sonal Hulika, and Stallone Joel Purishottam. Nada has been a communicant member of Scott since 2014, and as we've detailed before, has a long history of willing service and commitment. Sonal became a communicant member of Scott's in 2019 and has served on the Board of Management and as the leader of our City Bible Study Group. Joel became a communicant member of Scots in 2019 and likewise has shown his active faith in the Lord Jesus by the way he serves our church family. Now, these are the steps that have brought us to this moment of ordination and induction of Joel, Nada and Sonal. At its meeting of the 1st of June 2022, the Kirk session of Scots Church Charge created three vacancies for new elders to be elected by communicant members. The session unanimously nominated Nada, Sonal and Hot Joel, who were invited to undertake eldership training, which was completed on the 27th of June 2022. And the session also resolved to invite further nominations from the congregation. Public teaching on the nature and role of eldership was delivered personally at Flemington and Scott Services and on video at the Indonesian Christian Church on the 7th of August 2022. All communicant members of the Scots Church Link Charged, including Scots, the Indonesian Christian Church and St Stephen's Flemington, were notified in writing on the 9th of August of the call for nominations for three positions, together with a nomination form and profiles of the three nominees of session. Nominations opened on the 14th of August and closed on the 21st of August 2022. There were no additional nominations received. Notice of the election was issued in writing to all communicant members on the 2nd of September, and ballot papers were provided at all services on Sunday the 11th of September through to Sunday the 18th of September. Lists of communicant members were also available for reference if anybody needed to check those. The Kirk session was notified of the results of the ballot by circular resolution on the 19th of September, with the motion approved that the three nominees were all elected to the eldership of the Scots Church Link Charge, and that the names of the elders elected in alphabetical order should be publicly announced. The public announcement of the elders elect occurred on Sunday, the 25th of September, together with the edict for their ordination and induction being read at all services conducted in the charge on that date. Any objection was to be lodged with the session clerk by the conclusion of services on Sunday, the 2nd of October. There being no objections and all preliminary requirements being met, all is in good order to ordain and induct Nada Hanna, Sonal Hurlicka and Stallone Joel Purushottam as elders. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosalie. I hope you followed all that. Cutting a long story short, everything has been done properly, in the right order, in the right way. And so now it's time to ask the congregation to stand and join in affirming what we're about to do. So please stand. And let me ask formally, do you, the members and adherents of the congregations of this charge, now confirm the election of Sonal Hurlicka, Joel Purushottam, and Nada Hanna to the office of eldership in this congregation, and do you promise to offer them all due respect and encouragement in the discharge of their office? If you do, please say, we do. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Get you to hold that. I'll get you to hold that so the people online can hear as well. This is Joel, this is Sonal, this is Nada, for those who don't know, and they're going to be answering these questions together. We'll get the online camera on them, that's a good idea. So the online people can enjoy this too. And if you are sent to these questions, we'll ask you to say, I do, all in clear voices so we can hear you all. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and the only rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you own and accept the Westminster Confession of Faith as amended by the General Assembly, read in the light of the declaratory statement contained in the basis of union adopted by this? This is why they need training to understand these things. But you can read about them in the back pages of the Order of Service today, so you understand. I'll start again. Do you own and accept the Westminster Confession of Faith as amended by the General Assembly, read in the light of the declaratory statement contained in the basis of union adopted by this church on the 24th of July 1901? as an exhibition of the way you understand the Holy Scriptures and as a confession of your faith, and you engage firmly and constantly to adhere to it and to the utmost of your power to assert and maintain and defend it.
I do.
Do you own and accept the purity of worship as practiced in this church?
I do.
Do you own the Presbyterian form of government to be founded on the Word of God and agreeable to it? And do you promise that, through the grace of God, you'll firmly and constantly adhere to, and to the utmost of your power and your station as an elder, assert, maintain and defend it?
I do.
Do you adhere to your acceptance of the call of these three joint congregations of Scots, ICC and St Stephen's Flemington to exercise among them the office of ruling elder?
I do.
Do you engage through God's grace to discharge with diligence and faithfulness the duties of your office, watching over the flock, showing yourself a pattern of good works, and giving a conscientious attendance on the meetings of session, presbytery and assembly when duly called to do so?
I do.
All of these things do you profess and promise through grace, as you shall be answerable at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
Thank you. Now you are going to be asked to sign the declarations of those things, the formula, on the table behind me. If you do that, and then Phil Court's going to lead us in prayer.
I invite the elders and officers of the session now to come forward and surround these three brothers, and to use a liturgical expression, to lay your hands on them, which really just means to perhaps put your hand on their shoulder. Nothing more. Make sure they're all covered. Please join me in the prayer of ordination and induction. Let us pray. Loving Father God, your Holy Spirit inspires your adopted children to serve your purposes of love. We thank you that by your grace you have called these your servants, Nada, Sonal and Joel, to lead and to care for your people as elders in your church. We commend them to you now as we ordain and induct them to the office of the eldership within the church of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant them the gift of the Holy Spirit, that their hearts may be set on fire with love for you and for those committed to their care. Make them pure in heart as those who have the mind of Christ. Give them vision to discern your purpose for the church and for the world you love. Keep them faithful to the end in all their service, that when the chief shepherd appears, they may receive a crown that never fades. And to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be glory now and forever. Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and Head of the Church, and by the authority of the Kirk Session, I do hereby declare you, Nada, Sonal, and Joel, duly ordained and inducted into the office of eldership of these congregations and this parish. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And now your fellow elders will offer you the right hand of fellowship. I've shaken the hands already. You just give it to me. Thank you, everyone. I'm not sure if it's customary, but a round of applause at this point would be very appropriate, I think. Okay, we can take a seat. Well, our free will offerings are about to be received, and by that we mean you're absolutely free to give or not to, and especially if you're a visitor. Do feel free to pass the plate by as it comes around and just be our guest as the plate comes for our regular members' offerings. Our hymn is Just As I Am.
Please be seated. Let us bring our praise to the Lord. Let us pray. King of glory, our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise and thank you for this glorious day you have made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for spring and every season you have given us. And thank you for the rain of blessings and the winds of hope that leads us to the loving and merciful Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Loving God, thank you that you are the source of strength and protection during our challenging seasons, the ever-present help in trouble. We praise and give you thanks and worship you. Lord of the Church, we rejoice with Jesus, our chief shepherd, who has instilled in the hearts and minds of women and men into partnership with you for the purpose of your salvation for the world. We thank you that by your grace, you have called our dear brothers Ned Hanna, son of Helkah, and Joel Prusatum to lead and care for your people as elders in this church. Loving God, we ask that you would bless them and their beloved families. And we pray as well for the body of Christ in this place and the world, that you may guide and equip them and each of us, and by your Spirit, so that your church may grow in wisdom, love, and unity for the glory of your name. Loving God, that you would place a desire in the heart of the upcoming generation of believers in this place, in our city, country, and world, to not just know about you, but desire to have this desire, a deep desire, more personal relationship with you through prayers and the power of your holy word, for their love for you and one another. Loving, precious God, we remember your churches on earth facing persecution. We pray for God's wisdom, courage, strength, and protection to the persecuted Christians so that they would rely upon you and know the hope God provides in Christ Jesus. We ask that they would experience God's peace and would feel deeply connected to Jesus in their sufferings. We pray for all who suffer pain in the world and in our church community, their beloved families and friends, and those who bear the burden of illness, and those who have undergone an operation, that you would give them the comfort and strength of your presence and surround them with your healing love and power. God of love and life, as we mourn the passing of our beloved friend, Beverly Bitgood, that you would bless Beverly's beloved family and friends. May they be comforted, strengthened by Christ Jesus, the life and the resurrection. May the peace of Christ be upon them all. And now accept, O God, the offerings and tithes we make, and grant that gifts which can never be worthy may yet be sanctified by your blessing and used in your service. We ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The reading is from Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
There is a pastor in America, and I won't mention his name, who wrote a best-selling book in 2004, which currently rates 4.6 out of 5 stars on Amazon.com. It is a book called Your Best Life Now. It's a book all about how faith and positive thinking will let you live out your life to your full potential. Maybe you've read it. Millions have. His TV show is seen by more than 10 million viewers every week. He has a radio show as well. But friends, I suspect if the Apostle Peter wrote a self-help book, he might call it not Your Best Life Now, but Your Best Life Later. True glory, later. Real satisfaction, later. Appropriate recognition, later. Because that's certainly what he seems to be saying in our passage this morning from his letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, which is very applicable on this day when we're thinking about leadership in the church. Eldership. Just in case you're tempted to think that leadership in the church is a fast track to glory or to your best life now, Peter is ready with a solid reminder that we need to be adjusting our expectations from glory now, away from what gives us an appearance of status and glory and honour in the present, to the promise of a greater glory up ahead, and setting our hearts there. Notice that is the thread that runs right through the whole passage that Liz read for us. Verse 1, it is the glory that is going to be revealed. Not now, but later. Verse 4, it is when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown. Not now, but then. Verse 6, humble yourselves in the now, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Not now, but later. And after you've suffered a little while, verse 10, that's the now. Then the God of grace, who's called you to eternal glory in Christ, then he will restore you and establish you. Now, that is a simple thought that the Apostle Peter first wants to direct to church leaders in his own time who apparently needed that balance. But of course, it extends to our old and new church leaders today. But then it's also a word for anyone who bumps into the fact that this life isn't just a bed of roses. Or perhaps if you're looking for a quick fix, the seven steps to naming and claiming a more successful future for your best life now. Maybe you're already getting a little bit jaded with that. Peter says, lift up your eyes. Because at every point, he says, keep your eyes on the glory up ahead. If you're a follower of Jesus, your best life is not for now, but up ahead at the resurrection. So let's back it up and take it one step at a time. Verse 1, first of all, elders, church leaders. Literally in the Greek, the presbyteroi, which is where we get our catchy name, Presbyterians, as a church led by elders rather than popes or bishops or priests. Peter himself, of course, who some traditions see as pope, the very first one, you'll notice calls himself here just a fellow elder. Although his key distinctive is that he has been a first-hand witness of the sufferings of Christ, and since that time has used that as a model for understanding what true glory and honour really look like. You can read his words starting at verse 1 and follow the whole thought. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. This is the very same Peter who we saw last week, if you were with us, in that courtyard in John chapter 18, denying Jesus three times out of fear of a servant girl, as Jesus calmly stands his ground. Peter's model of leadership now, years later, is shaped by his own first-hand experience of the suffering, the death, and then the resurrection of Jesus. Things he witnessed firsthand. This upside-down model where positional authority and strength isn't something you use for your own wealth or your ego or your glorification, but to serve. Glory later. So, a question. How's that going to work out in concrete, practical terms for a leader in a church? Peter says if it's good enough for the Lord of all creation to die on a cross for the sake of his people with his eyes on the glory up ahead, then elders should be prepared to think the same. Verses 2 and 3, here's the job description. He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. For our three new elders today, keep in mind that solemn truth that God is placing his flock under your care. You'll be like a shepherd, which again, we saw as the image last week, as Jesus calls Peter to watch over his sheep. Look, I've got to tell you this. Lou and I were at a cafe yesterday, and we could see the back of a white woolly dog behind the next table. And Lou said to me, "That dog looks like a sheep." Turns out it actually was a sheep on a leash at a cafe. The real dog at the table to the left of us was looking at it with a hungry glint in its eye. I don't think, in fact, the sheep owners could ever quite relax and let their guard down. Always one eye on their lamb, one eye on the dog at the next table. Which leads us to that curious combination of words at the end of that sentence in verse 2, serving as overseers. See, overseer can kind of sound important. Serving sounds the opposite. Although when you think about the two literal words that make up the word overseer, overseer, in a very literal sense, it doesn't first off mean foreman or boss, but someone like a lifeguard or a watchman, only sitting higher for a better view to watch for danger, looking at the big picture so you can care more, which isn't so much a matter of glory, but a matter of very real service. Friends, my hope is that you will notice in Sonal and Nada and Joel a slightly more big picture focus in their eyes from now on. Because when you are truly overseeing a flock, while you're talking to the one, you will always be sensing the many as well. Your eyes will need to be everywhere at once. That while you're picking up the details of the little picture, you'll be taking in the big picture as well. There's someone over there who's new and needs welcoming. There's someone over there who's distressed. There's a hungry-looking bull mastiff at the next table. Watching over, overseeing your sheep is hard work, which is why if you've ever done that, you'll know that it is very, really serving. Which is why you'll notice Peter realizes some might have to be pushed into a role like that. And so he says, if that's you, if you have to be compelled, if you're under compulsion, verse 2, maybe you're just not the person to be doing it at all, because he's looking for the sort of people who will exercise that kind of caring oversight, not under compulsion, he says, but willingly, as God would have you. Now there's more. There are three knots. That's the first one, not under compulsion but willing. Second one, which comes at the tail end of that verse, Peter says principle number 2, don't be doing it for personal gain. Not greedy for money, in another translation. The original word behind the phrase not doing it for personal gain is not crocodos, which of course is where our word crocodile comes from. Christian leadership based on a hunger for personal gain is like hiring a crocodile as your sheepdog. You get famous cases like Benny Hinn, have you heard of him? Who travels the world on his private jet to gobble up gullible Christians. He flew into Brisbane a few years back when we were living there, and he said to people, thousands of them at the entertainment centre, he said, if you didn't bring money, that's okay. Just give me your wedding rings. Selling God's blessings to give Benny his full serving of glory now. God wants leaders who are in it for what they can give rather than what they can get. Because, you see, their eyes are on the glory up ahead, not the comforts now. Peter says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now, one more knot to look at. And for any leader, it's challenging. Shepherds who lead the flock by example, not by the force of authority. Here's the third big knot. Not acting like the lord of a castle, but a leader who serves. It's in verse 3. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Elders who encourage you to give by their giving, not by their taking. Who encourage you to serve by their serving, not their being served. Elders who encourage you to be serious about following Jesus by showing clear evidence they are following Jesus themselves. So a word to all our elders and leaders. You are called first and foremost to lead by your example, not by your power, not just by empty words. Nada and Sonal and Joel, even though from time to time you'll get to sit in those high chairs up the front, not for the glory now, but because of the glory that lies ahead. Verse 4, a verse for under shepherds. And when the chief shepherd appears, that's when you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. That when the chief shepherd appears on the final day, there is going to be a celebration. You'll get the recognition you deserve. Then you will get the proper thanks along with an unfading crown of glory. Not now. Which means, in short, if you always dreamed of becoming a church leader because you reckon there is some kind of glory in it, sorry to disappoint you, today is not that day. Though when that day does come, it's going to last forever. Now, just to finish, a word not for our present and brand new elders, because I wouldn't want anyone to think that there is actually a special level of future privilege for elders that's not open to everyone else. We're talking here about a general principle which is right at the astonishing heart of our faith, and that is that the high God of all the universe has no time for our petty ambitions and our own highness, whoever we are, but that he turns his heart to the humble, whoever you are. Interesting, back in Queensland, I've got a friend who played rugby with the All Blacks. And you'd see him at church, and here's the thing. The sort of guy who blokey blokes love to hang out with and talk footy and act all masculine and cool. Whereas Brad would always deliberately gravitate away from them towards the broken people. The shy young guy who nobody ever gave time of day to. Brad would be talking with him. Or most of all with Scotty, who had muscular dystrophy, there in his powered chair. Brad would be talking to him. Or Leon, who was 92 years old and frail. Brad would be talking to him. See, friends, that is how the God of the universe does it. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's verse 5. And it is great news for anyone who wants to embrace it. So, for all of us, says Peter, why not humble yourself under God's mighty hand? Because he is not just strong and mighty, he is kind as well. And at the right time, he'll lift you up. Humble yourselves, therefore, verse 6, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. No matter your cares and concerns, no matter your struggles and weakness, no matter your unimpressive resume. Friends, this is a word for our elders, but it's also a word for all of us who want to bow the knee and follow the Lord Jesus. This is God's upside-down economy. And it's God himself in verse 10 who at the right time, after all the suffering and the struggles, after all the sacrifice and the service, will finally put things right and restore you, make you strong and steadfast. The glory, the crown, the pat on the back, your best life then, not your best life now. Leaders who model that humbly, followers who submit to that humbly, all of us standing firm patiently. It all sounds a whole lot like Jesus, doesn't it? Which is exactly the point. And after you have suffered a little while, verse 10, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, friends, in response, let's join in singing our final hymn, A Safe Stronghold, Our God Is Still.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for being with us this morning. I hope I don't need to remind you again, but I will, that morning tea is going to be served in the foyer of the bank building behind me. Please go and say hi to Tony and his team. And the coffees are all paid for, and teas and snacks are available for purchase. So please do support us as we try something new and try to support them. And now may the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, continue to confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.